Good morning. Welcome to worship, the last Sunday of June. It's hard to believe. Many things happening are in the life of the church, and I just want to highlight a few. I know you've probably been seeing the video going up here on the screen, but Vacation Bible School is in need of some items, and you can see the list of those in the bulletin. The church is still looking for a secretary to work in the office, and that's part-time from 8 to 12 every day of the week. So if you're interested in that or know someone that might be interested in that, pass on the name to Rich Yenser or any of that group. And if you notice, we're missing some youth this morning. They are on their way, I guess, to North Carolina for a Brother of Disaster ministry trip. So they're going to be gone. Keep them in your prayers this week as they are going to be working in the heat of the Carolinas. Some of you have already experienced that, know what that's all about. As we look to the calendar here, this afternoon, it's an exciting time in the life of the church. We're going to have baptisms. Baptisms will be held at 1 o'clock this afternoon at Willow Springs in Millardsville. And we ask that you get there by 1 o'clock, and we'll gather at the gate because it is a gated area, and we need to all go in as a group. So just gather at the gate this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we'll go in for those baptisms. We do want to welcome Janelle Redman. She was baptized Thursday evening back at camp. I just want to make a correction. There is no leadership team meeting Tuesday night this week. No leadership team meeting. And then this week in the life of the church, again, is annual conference that will be held in Greensboro, North Carolina, and that's Wednesday through Sunday. And Pastor Matt will be leaving Tuesday afternoon and be returning sometime Sunday evening, next Sunday evening. So if you need to get with Pastor Matt, get to him before noon on Tuesday. And if anything comes up during the week after that, you can contact myself or Richard France, and we'll try and take care of what needs to be taken care of. Any other announcements? I'm not seeing anybody jumping up and down. So let's turn in our bulletins. I lost it. To our call to worship, and I ask you to stand. Let us begin in unison. Lord, we gather proclaiming your great name. We ask our eyes to be open to the realities of the unseen. Open our ears to hear your small, still voice. Lead us to walk as we live this life. Help us, Lord, to love others and worship wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, his weight outweighs the world, his reach reaches everywhere, his age is evermore.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his power away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above, above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He left his hometown to enter this arena, to raise his hands in victory for me. An angry crowd crucified this king who wore their crown, and they gladly watched their champion going down.
But I will never count him out, for I'm a witness of the day he rose to retain the title
Champion of Love. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his power away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his power away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion. The all-time undisputed, undefeated champion. The all-time undisputed champion. The champion of love.
So Gary, yeah. Any deacons want to come up, and we're going to consecrate the annual conference delegates, Jamie and John Wise, this morning. So if there's any deacons that want to come forward and lay hands, and then the rest of you kind of outstretch. This is a, as always, every annual conference is a very important one, but this year in particular, we just want to cover our delegates in prayer as they deal with the compelling vision process, and they've been doing a great job attending meetings and being a part of that to this point. So let's all reach our hands out towards Jamie and John, and lift up the annual conference as well, as many of individuals are already making their way there. The standing committee is already meeting, and we just want to cover our delegates in prayer as well as the entire event. Lord, we just thank you for John and Jamie. We thank you for their hearts of service. We thank you for their willingness to accept the call to be annual conference delegates. Lord, you know the business that is before us at annual conference, and we are just putting the compelling vision process into your hands. But Lord, as they gather around tables, John and Jamie will each be interacting with Church of the Brethren from across the globe. And we just pray, Lord, that you would anoint them, you would give them all that they need to be able to respond and to be able to participate as they feel led by the Holy Spirit. We lift up annual conference as a whole and just pray, Lord, that your spirit indeed would be moving, that we would be praying, and that we would see you at work. For we know that you are an active God. You are a God that knows our future as a denomination. And we just place it into your loving arms. And we ask you to continue to just be with annual conference, everyone participating there, and especially with John and Jamie. We set them apart for this such a time as this. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Do invite anyone that might have any joys or concerns this morning to raise your hand, and we'll get a microphone to you and invite those joys and concerns. And you would have loved sitting in the front seat. I just admire Pam. It's just amazing. Her granddaughter sitting next to her as she's playing the piano and just peacefully playing away. And it was just so amazing to see the next generation interested in what that piano is all about. So be involved in the church. Be willing to say, you know what, I want to try ushering. I want to try whatever it may be, and be a part of the life of the church. That was so exciting to see this morning. Any joys or concerns? Yes, Gary.
Well, just an update on Daniel Bryant, and I just pray that we pray, number one, for healing, that Jesus' touch and God's touch might be upon him and heal him. But he has his appointment coming up July 11th. There's a functional MRI help that will help locate his language cortex. And they pray that the family's praying that that can be done. They're also praying to be comfortable with the surgeon, and also Daniel needs to meet with a child psychologist. And it's a woman that they're hoping he connects with her and can leave his appointments feeling a little less anxious than he is right now.
We have a birthday this week, Vera Gross. There's a few more, I think, but I just thought I'd mention.
Just like to ask for prayers for my mom, my grandmother, and I. I'm having some health issues, and they're dealing with their issues too. And so we'd like some prayers for all of us, if you could, please.
Just an update on Bob Labuddy. The name has been in the bulletin the past couple weeks. They have been to Jefferson. They've seen the same doctors that Carl has, and tomorrow they'll be doing a bone marrow test. And if that comes out on the good side, he will be scheduled for a transplant in August. Bob and Linda say they appreciate the prayers and the cards that were sent from here. They're both firm believers in prayer.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for this day to gather together as a church family, to sing together, to worship you, and to hear words that you are the champion of love. And Lord, that word love is so powerful and so meaningful to our lives. And we thank you that that love has been manifested through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, that we might be forgiven. And so this morning, Lord, we just grab hold of that love and we take it with us wherever we go, and we pour it out upon others and ask, Lord, that that love would be steadfast, that you would continue to nurture us, you would continue to comfort us, you would continue to be all that we need in our moments of despair and our moments of joy. And we just thank you, Father, for every single individual gathered here today. We thank you for those that aren't able to be here with us, though they wish they could, and just ask, Lord, that you would allow us to see you at work, that we would heed to what you're doing in our lives, and we would surrender and say yes to what you're calling us to do. We know, Lord, illness strikes many of us, and each day we go through trials, we go through suffering, and Lord, we know that that suffering can be done in joy as we walk the talk. But Lord, we know that it's difficult amidst the pain, amidst the uncertainties, amidst the knowledge of what could happen. So Lord, especially this morning, we want to lift up Daniel Bryant. And Lord, you know the child psychologist that he'll be meeting with. And I just pray for an extreme level of comfort with her, that he would be able to interact and be able to just feel an overwhelming peace as he meets with her. And we think of the surgeon, Lord, that the entire Bryant family would feel comfort with that surgeon, Lord, that they know Daniel is in the best hands possible, a surgeon who is caring, compassionate, and very good at what he does. And we just pray that for others, Lord, that may be facing surgeries, we just ask that your hand of healing, your hand of protection would be upon each one. But Lord, just give us strength, give us encouragement to get through those trying times. We think of Dottie this morning, we think of Lisa and the entire family, Lord, and just ask your loving arms to be wrapped around them, Lord, during this time, Lord. Give a special healing touch, if it be your will. But, Lord, just comfort them and just give them all that they need in this time, Lord. Help them just to see you through all of this, to know that you are at work. And we just thank you, Lord, for being close to each and every single one of us as we go through difficult times in our lives. We think of Lester this morning and Carl and Kenny and Linda and Hershey and Ruth. And we lift up Bob this morning as well and just continue to pray for annual conference in our sister church, Conestoga. And Lord, we just want to be in your will. We want to do what you're calling us to do. So Father, help us to see your word and allow your word to be applied to the way in which we interact in this world. Help us to love one another. Help us to support and encourage one another. And forgive us for those times that we fail at doing so. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just be with us now as we lift up prayers of confession, Lord, that we know we've sinned this week, and we just want to turn those over to you and ask you to lead us away from them through the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for hearing the prayers of our hearts and also our prayers asking for forgiveness. Lord, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the forgiveness that you have given us through the cross. We thank you that the tomb is empty, that eternal life awaits those who trust, those who believe, those who maintain their faith through this life. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a steadfast faith, that no matter what we face, that no matter what challenge we have, that we would always be able to see you in the midst of it. So thank you, Lord, for always being a present God, a God that is willing to travel through this life with us. So, Lord, we just seek you this morning, knowing that you can be found, and we continue to worship you. And we especially lift up our South Carolina mission team as their North Carolina mission team, South Carolina mission team, Lord, you know, and just bless them, Lord, and allow their hands to be used to show your love as they serve. And may there be unity, and may there be peace in their team, and may they just see you in the midst of their work. And we just thank you, Lord, again, for being here in this place with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To us, O Lord, not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory, to thy name give praise. Not to O Lord, not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory, to thy name give praise. As children of a mighty King, offering, and all we have we bring to give, the honor and the love that you alone are worthy of. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, O to thy name give glory, to thy name give praise.
strong. You give us hope when hope is gone. So when we lift our song of praise, with single voice and mind, our thankful hearts will always say, not to us, oh, not to us, oh, not to us, not to us, but to thy name give glory, to thy name give praise, not to us, oh, Lord, not to us, oh, but to thy name give glory. Not to us, but to thy holy name give praise.
Amen. Boy, after that, I don't even know what to share for an offertory thought. I did find this, though, this past week. In the Spirit of Christ, we are one. Around the world and across the ages, we are one. Through sharing our lives, prayers, and money, we are one with all of God's beloved children. Share today. And know that you are one with your sisters and brothers around the world. And thank you for sharing. Let's pray. Generous God, bless these gifts that we return to you, and bless the hearts that give. Unite our hearts with those hearts that will be strengthened, helped, and healed through these gifts. May this money be used faithfully to your purposes, furthering your reign of compassion and justice around the world. Amen.
My name is Ava Black. I want to be baptized because I want to go to heaven when I die. I also want to show the world that I truly believe in God and Jesus Christ.
My name is Aiden Watt. I want to be baptized to show that I'm committed to Christ and to grow with Him.
My name is Brooke, and I want to be baptized because I believe in Jesus and I would like to follow His path.
This afternoon, we're going to see four young people and an older person. Actually, Suzanne's going to be baptized. Who's older? I said older. I didn't say old. And we're going to see them step into the water and receive baptism, and it's a wonderful thing. But we'd like to sing a song now entitled Step Into the Water. And this is a song for all of us, and it encourages us to step into the water and wade out a little bit deeper and wet our feet in the water of His love.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It is time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It is time we square the shoulders back, raise our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon, and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. There is victory for the Christian who walks a narrow way. There has been a prize appointed for the soul that does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so that I can rest with Him forever, live eternally. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water.
Good morning. This morning I brought a weight with me. Has anyone ever seen one of these before? What does it say on there? What number? Yes, 5 pounds. Yeah? How about you feel it? Does it feel heavy or light to you? Feels pretty light? That's what I think too. Let's try, let's let someone else try. What do you think? Is it heavy or light? Some of you might think it's a little lighter or a little heavier. Yeah. For me, it's pretty light. It's pretty small, it's pretty light. Do you think I would increase my strength by lifting this weight every day if it's really easy for me? No. I could lift these all day and I would not increase my strength one bit. The only way that I would increase my strength is to lift weights that are difficult for me. When those weights start to become easy for me to lift, I need to increase the amount of weight I'm lifting. That is the only way for me to increase my strength. I have to push myself to the limits. When I do that, I will become what? What do you think? Yeah, stronger and stronger. Some people want everything in life to be easy. They don't like it when trouble comes their way and times are hard. The Bible tells us that we should be happy when hard times come our way because by exercising our faith in God, our faith becomes stronger. When a small problem comes our way, we should trust God to handle it. Then, when a little bigger problem comes along, do you think we should trust Him too? Yeah, we trust Him to handle that as well. If we keep on doing this, our faith will become stronger and stronger until we realize that there's no problem too big for God to handle. Now that's a strong faith. Let's make up our mind that we're going to get into good spiritual shape by exercising our faith each and every day. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that we can trust you to handle the problems that come into our lives. Help us each day to exercise our faith so that our faith will become strong.
Thank you.
This morning, I've never been more excited to begin a new sermon series. As you can see, our sermon series is entitled Walk the Talk. Now, we often hear talk, but it's a whole nother thing to walk the talk. So this morning, we're going to be focusing on the first chapter of James, verses 1 through 12. Now, it's going to be tempting for you to want to look at the screen as these verses are read. But what I'd encourage you to do is, if you have your own Bible with you, to turn with me to the book of James. If you don't have your own Bible, there is a Bible in the pew in front of you. They all are the NIV version, which we will be reading out of. Also, feel free to get your mobile devices and turn to your Bible apps as well. So we are in the book of James, chapter 1, and we'll be going through verses 1 through 12. Not all at once, though. We'll take pieces here and there. James chapter 1. So as you're preparing to get to James chapter 1, the question we might ask regarding these verses is, why would we need wisdom? Is it simply to know a tomato is a fruit and have wisdom not to put it in a fruit salad? Or is it like the wisdom of these children, such as Patrick, aged 10, never trust a dog to watch your food? Michael, age 14, when your dad is mad and he asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Joel, aged 10, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a bat. Or how about the wisdom of Andrew, aged 9, puppies still have bad breath even after eating peppermint. Taylor, aged 11, when your mom is mad at your dad, do not let her brush your hair. Adam, age 9, you cannot hide a piece of broccoli in your milk. Mike Mitchell, age 12, don't sneeze in front of your mom when you're eating a cracker. And then the greatest wisdom of all, from Michael, aged 14. Never, never tell your mom her diet isn't working. Even still, with all this wisdom, we may be dealing with one challenge after another. Or for some reason, we think we have this all wrong. If this is the talk I'm supposed to walk, then why does God allow suffering and trials in my life, in the lives of others? If that thought ever crossed our mind, we are in good company with James' audience. So your Bibles are open to verse 1 of chapter 1, and it reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Friends, the 12 tribes scattered here describes both the Jews who have been exiled from Israel and also the Christians who have scattered from Jerusalem after persecution failed to leave. These people sent packing, knew what suffering was. So this makes James' opening verse even more practical for us in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, there's that word joy. And James is connecting it to trials, or what we could call suffering. He's not only saying joy, but pure joy. Other versions call it all joy or great joy. Now, I don't know about you, but in my thinking, these two words, joy and suffering, belong together as much as peanut butter and mustard, or marshmallows and ketchup. Yet, suffering was, and suffering is, a part of life. And here's what God is saying to us this morning. When we walk the talk, He wants us to embrace our trials with a response contrary to what the masses would expect. So the world's coming at you. It's all up in your grill. And God says, consider it all joy. Consider it pure joy. Consider it great joy. But for many of us, we've been swept off our feet. The unexpected, the least likely has happened. We can't even stand on our own two feet, let alone call it joy. Now, for most of us in the room, there may be a few other choice words we'd call our circumstances. But friends, let's walk the talk for a moment and discover how we can have joy in suffering. There's one conclusion we can already draw. Some things about human nature never change. And one such thing is we want to know why we must suffer. Why do trials insist on coming our way? And the short answer is because Jesus loves you. James, however, leads us into another answer. He's telling us why trials should cause someone like you and someone like I to have joy in suffering. And we find it in verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The word for testing was often used to describe precious metals put through extreme heat to remove impurities. They would become so pure we could see our reflections in them. So when it comes to walking the talk, as God tests us and as we go through the heat or the time of suffering, guess what we should be doing? Reflecting his nature all the more. Now, many of us find joy in many things. Grandchildren, children, vacations, food, and amusement. And they each have their way of refining us, even causing perseverance, but nothing quite like the trials in our lives. Remember the goal, that we are able to endure and remain faithful to him. Verse 4 spells it out quite nicely. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If that precious metal never faced the extreme heat, the impurities would remain. So what does that mean for us? Because we know that we're worth more than any precious metal. Francis Chan would say it like this. What God wants to do is not just make us happy. He wants to make us holy. He says he wants us mature, complete, not lacking in any of these things. So how many of us this morning have really thought of that as a life goal? You see, in our opening text, when persecution drove the Christians out into the wider world, many of them had a very good reason to doubt their faith. Their question was, and our question may be, is it really worth all this pain to stay faithful to Christ? And if you haven't caught on to James yet, he's emphatically saying to us, yes. And he urges us to trust in God's wise guidance. Reminds me of a story about a father and his son walking one day where the young lad asks him a question. Dad, how does electricity go through the wires between those telephone poles? I don't know, said his father. I never really knew much about electricity. A bit further on, the boy asks another question. Dad, what causes lightning and thunder? Well, son, that too has me puzzled. The youngster continued to inquire about many, many things, none of which the father could explain. Finally, as they were nearing home, the boy said, Dad, I hope you didn't mind me asking all those questions. And the father replied, Not at all, son. How else are you going to learn? Herein lies the trouble with most of our lives. Based on what's happening around us, we jump in and we jump out of faith. I can't tell you the number of times lately I've heard it say, I don't have a lot of faith right now. I'm not sure about my relationship with God. But friends, we are answering our own dilemmas. You have to know that God is always reaching out to us. It's our job to reach out to Him. It's our job to walk the talk and keep in touch with Him. Even when people, even when circumstances confront us for living according to our faith. You see, friends, the reality is God promises He will see us through. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Friends, that perseverance we develop in the trials prepares us with an incredibly strong faith. When we believe, when we don't doubt, we will receive. But let's be honest this morning. More times than not, we doubt that God is going to move in our situation. But how can we know? How can we possibly know if we don't believe? We've heard it said over and over and over again. Keep the faith. Continue to trust. Walk through this with God. But somehow we let go. Somehow we don't keep holding on. But friends, our victory is coming, even if that victory isn't what you were expecting. The trials in our lives are never intended to pull us away from God. The suffering affords us the opportunity to grow in faith amidst the pain. It goes on, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Having heard these verses, friends, it is always us that creates the gap, that creates the division, that creates the separation between us and God. And what it results in is a lesser faith. But remember what God has done for every single one of us. He has sent his only son to bridge that gap that we might have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Amen? And he goes on and tells us that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So friends, the question becomes, in what ways do we demonstrate our steadfast faith in Jesus? In what ways do we demonstrate our steadfast faith in Jesus? What does it look like at home? What does it look like at work or with our neighbors or with family members or the church family? Friends, please know this. We can walk the talk and we can have joy in suffering. Yesterday, I just happened to receive the volunteer sharing God's love through acts of service, Brethren Volunteer Service. And this month's title is Finding Joy. And there's a testimony in here called Light in the Darkness. And I'd like to close with this. It's by a lady named Pauline Liu. As the saying goes, joy is not the absence of suffering. During my time in BVS, I am learning that joy can be found in the darkest of times. By intentionally seeking out moments of gratefulness and blessings. 2 Corinthians 4:8 to 10 and 16 to 18 says, "We are pressed on every side by trials, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. When depression immobilizes me, all I can do is cling to the cross and pray that the Lord will walk with me through the despair and the devastation that I feel. In my project, I have found joy in spending time in community with others. I have been incredibly blessed by the core members I live with because they show me what true acceptance looks like. I can feel the presence, joy, and love of Christ each day as we fulfill our purpose to support others and love them. Even though I frequently get overwhelmed while juggling work, self-care, boundaries, and conflict management, I am reassured by the knowledge that the Lord uses these moments to mold me in the image of Christ. I have hope and assurance that painful instances hold a purpose in God's kingdom and that God will redeem all the broken parts and make me whole in the love of Christ." I couldn't have said it any better. Friends, the Lord indeed is with us amidst the trials, amidst the suffering, amidst the persecution. Be bold. Be willing to share the love that you have through Christ with others. Be willing to look that suffering, that pain in the face and say, "I have Jesus." That pain can't bring us down. Indeed, it can help us to persevere and bring us joy. So as we rise for our closing song, may we indeed go out with joy. You know, I'd encourage us this week. Perhaps you'll encounter a butterfly. And a butterfly is the most intimate connection with creation for me because it demonstrates a transformation, because that butterfly had to go through a trial in order to become as beautiful as it is. So this week, seek out a butterfly and realize you yourself can go through that same transformation and blossom into this beautiful creation that God intended to have joy amidst whatever we're going through. May we indeed go out with joy.